give it to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he deserves the crown.
Yes.
The only thing I deserve is heartache and hardship, but he will plainly give to us what we need.
Yes.
It's not nothing that, oh, yeah, there's a whole lot of things out here I want. But is it going to make me any better Christian? No. Is it going to make me know God and the Word of God any more than what I know? Nope. Just things that I want that I don't need. The only thing I need is just the leadership of the Lord. All right, if you will tonight, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. All right, chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 3. In chapter 1, 1 Peter. Apostle Peter. He is the writer of this book in the second epistle. And not only that, he followed the Lord, he knew the Lord, and he went with him. He was right beside of his side at times, and then at times he denied the Lord. And that right there is an indication of me and you. Because I know that there's not a time in our Christian life that we denied him. We denied him when he spoke to us about going out and doing something for him, and we wouldn't go. So that's denial. So we denied the Lord in going. Even though that he still forgave us. But not only that, he gave us another opportunity to where we could end up going out, maybe at a later time or whatever. But it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The things that he has for us laid up in heaven. Says over in verse 8, it said, we, when having not seen, and we haven't seen it, any of the things that he has laid up there in heaven for me and you, for our faithfulness and for our disobedience. You know, we can disobey the Lord, but, you know, I don't think he won't take anything away from us. He will just give us another opportunity to correct that. And we see that over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, talking about going back and asking for forgiveness. But in whom have you not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. These eyes have not seen the things that is happening there in heaven today. The only thing we can do, we can just imagine what's going on there. And how do we imagine it? Through God's Word. And as the Holy Spirit teaches us, and as the Holy Spirit reveals it to us through Scripture. And not only that, we have two languages in the Word of God, and that's nothing but the Hebrew and the Greek. Now the Greek has been transformed into the English speaking for the English speaking people, which that's me and you. I can't speak a bit of Greek. I've met some pastors, and matter of fact, I know of one right now that he could speak Greek just as fluent as me and you can speak English. He can speak it, and he can tell you exactly what each and every word means in Greek. Now he used to be with Hargrave. He was a teacher over there in Hargrave, and he taught the Bible. He taught Greek over there in Hargrave. And I'll tell you, just to sit at his feet and just hear him read a chapter in the Bible and read it as it was the Greek. I'm talking about he can take the English Bible that we have, the King James. He can open it up, and with just like what I just read, he can take it and he could read it in Greek. If the Greek was already there. Because he knows exactly what it means. He knows exactly what Peter's name is in Greek. He knows exactly what an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, and Cappadocia, in Asia, and Bithynia. He can name, he can read that better than I can read the English version. And he can take it and read it in Greek. He can take it and he can read it in Greek, and he can tell you what each and every word means. Now it's amazing to me to listen to a man that has took that much time in his life as a Christian to ask the Holy Spirit to teach him that. Yes, he took it in school. He took Greek in high school and in college. But you know, we can learn some things in college or in high school. But yet after we get out in the world and get to doing the life that we have provided for ourselves, We'll forget some things. We'll forget things that we have learned. He has forgotten more in one verse than I have in the whole Bible. He don't forget nothing. He has got a photostatic memory. And the thing about it is, he's related to Shelby. He's related to her. And I mean, that's the way he is. I mean, you would not even think that the man had any kind of knowledge at all by just speaking to him. And his name is Bill Underwood. He used to be the pastor of the church over in Chatham. Can't think of the name of it. Then he was a pastor of a church down in North Carolina. But he loved the Lord. You could be able to model and just him quoting verses of scripture in Greek. And then he'd turn right back around and quote it in the English form. And that's amazing. That's amazing how God can give one man that much ability to want to learn that. And it's not that he had to do it. When he got saved, that's something that fascinated him in hearing the Greek talk. That fascinated him. So he said, I'm going to learn Greek. Now, if I went to college or went to school and started learning Greek, I may learn Greek for 1 week. And then I say, well, this ain't for me. I mean, because you've got to have your passion in it. You got to have your love in something like that. And he did. And yes, he could speak in Hebrew too. Not like he could Greek. Greek was his main language that he was studying. But he could speak in Hebrew. And it's amazing to hear people speak in the original language that the Bible was written in. It's amazing. And we can, you know, that's one thing that we've never heard. We've never heard any of that. Some things that we have never seen that's taking place right now there in heaven. Oh, in the book of Hebrews, I believe it is, it's speaking about the witnesses there in heaven, looking over the banister there, down on us. Some people say it's the two witnesses that's looking over. I don't think so. I believe it's the ones that's gone before us that was saved, sanctified. They was looking over the banister of heaven, praying for me, praying for you, praying for this church, and praying that God's work will get done. Whom have ye not seen? Ye love in whom? Though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophet have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should not, that should come unto you. Searching what? And what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. The suffering of Christ when he was hanging down on Calvary, there was no time to shout. There was no time of just praising the Lord. There was a time of prayer. There was a time when his mother and when his brothers was there and when they was mourning. Yes, his mother mourned for her son's death, even though she knew what it all meant, but she mourned. She mourned for him. And not only that, Jesus Christ, he mourned for us every day. Every day. Because when a child is first birthed into this world, that child right then starts dying. Because they have no way of living anymore because their life has just started. And when you, that's just like going out here and planting a tomato plant. When you plant the tomato plant at a young age, it's going to grow. Then when it grows, it's going to produce some kind of fruit. And as it produces that fruit, that one tomato will end up producing other fruit that's on the tomato plant. It goes hand in hand. But yet, eventually, the leaves will start withering. The plant will start swaying to one side or another. What is that? That's a representation of that plant getting old. Getting old. And eventually, that tomato plant is going to droop all the way down to the ground. And that's a representation of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And represents Jesus Christ. It's not nothing out here that we cannot pick at, that we cannot pick, that we cannot relate it to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot of things that we can look at and we can see and around us and all. And if we'll just put on the helmet of salvation, if we just put on the garment of God, then he will allow our mind and our heart to wander to the point of, you see that bush over there? I've never seen that bush over there. I've never noticed that bush over there. But you look at it. It's got little blooms on that bush. I've never noticed them blooms on that bush. But it has it. It's things that God has right there at our fingertips. at our eyesight that we can see, and we can smell it with our nose, the fragrance that come off of it, and we can even hear it grow. We can get so, if we get so quiet, we get quiet and still. Nothing else going on around us, no wind blowing, no trees swaying, no one talking, just a small, still voice from heaven will speak to us. Will speak to us through what we have just witnessed. Same thing goes with us as we go out here and visit. And we go ahead and visit a sinner that is lost and dying and going to hell. We have got to be quiet. When we are quiet, we allow the Holy Spirit to start His work. But a whole lot of times, that's what the problem is. We don't want the Holy Spirit to do His work. We want to try to do it ourselves. We want to try to do it ourselves and then pat our own selves on the back. Look what I done. Look what I done this past week. Look what I done for God. You know what I done then? I just took all my blessings that God was going to give me. And I just took them and threw them back in His face. We have to watch in what we do and the way we say things, because people, there's people out here that's in dire need. Some people's out here hurting. And I'm not speaking of financial. I'm not speaking of health. I'm speaking of their soul condition. They're hurting to the point. They're at the door of death. And when you're at that door of death, if you're saved, then you're going to go home and you're going to be with Jesus. If you got a mother or father there, you're going to be with them. You got brothers or sisters there, they're going to be there. You're going to see them. You're going to see your friends that's gone on before you. But we don't need to act like, well, I'm saved. And if the Lord wants to take me home today, that's okay with me. I know I've said it up here in the pulpit. And I shouldn't have said it that way, because that was me giving up. Giving up what God Almighty wanted me to do. That I gave in to Satan and saying to Satan, I can't do it any longer. I've been out here and I've visited people and they tell you, I don't need church. They tell you, I listen to Oral Roberts, Charles Stanley, and all these other, Joel Osteen and everything on TV on Sunday morning. That's all I need. If that's all they need, then when they need a pastor to pray for them, when they need a pastor to come and be with them by their bedside when they've got a wife or a daughter or son, a mother or father laying there in a hospital dying. Can they depend on that pastor in coming? No. That pastor don't even know anything about them. Don't know where they live. But yet people, they fall for it every time. Every time. Why? Because the only thing that they preach on anymore is prosperity. God's going to be good to you. God's going to help you. Don't say anything about, well, if you don't obey God, then God's going to hold it against you. You've got to give people the whole truth. See, the people like it, they know what the truth is. But I think the majority of them that knows the whole truth about salvation by heaven and hell is that they have heard the truth so much that they hadn't heard anything negative at all. And as far as this world concerned, it's more negativity than it is positive in this world. People want to be negative all the time. We need to be positive sometimes too. But yeah, we also need to be negative too sometimes. Because when something comes up in our life and we're negative to it, then that brings us closer to God. That brings us closer to where he is at, in our prayer life, in our study, in our faithfulness, and doing what he's asked us to do. I would love to see myself for a great revival to go on in Danville, Virginia, in Pennsylvania County. But you know something? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The last revival that this world has ever seen, and that was the Welch revival. I mean, that was when people, they didn't even have to even get up and pray. God was down there. God was right there in the midst of the people. God was right there dealing with their hearts, and the people could not even sit down. They had to go to the altar when they first come in. What's wrong with the local church? Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong for us. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we're any wrong. But I'm going to say this. What is wrong with the local church? There are two things. Two things that I see. And yes, and I think every bit of it lies on the pastor of the church. You cannot put the blame on the visitors. You cannot put the blame on the members or anything. But two things that I see. The first one is that we done away with the altar. We done away with it. We don't have the altar anymore. We just got a platform up here. Then eventually, the platform is going to be gone. Then another thing. We don't have the altar. And when you don't have the altar, you don't have prayer. The altar is missing in the local church. Prayer is missing in the local church. Who took the altar out of the local church? Who took prayer out of the local church? You know who was the leader of the church? The one that God has given the flock that he wants them to have, the pastor. He is the first one that allowed the altar to be removed and allowed prayer to be removed from church. We don't need to allow that. Who has took it out? Satan hadn't took it out. The people in the world, they hadn't took it out. Who has taken it out? We have. We have. That's the reason we don't see the power of God. That's the reason we don't experience the power of God. That's the reason you don't have anybody in church anymore, and they're lifting their hand toward heaven and praising God for what God has done for them. You don't have no grannies in any church house anymore that she'll reach in a pocketbook and everything, and she'll pull out that handkerchief and she'll start waving that handkerchief as that white flag. And it's not the white flag of surrender, but it's a white flag that she's ready. She's ready to go for the Lord. What's happened? What has happened? What has happened? I haven't been saved 38 years. 38 years last month. And I've experienced very little of what went on in the '50s and the '60s and part of the '70s. Where people would come to church. And before they would sit down in their pew, you could hear people talking and just thanking the Lord, praising his name. Then the next thing you know, then as soon as the service starts, as soon as that, right after they have the first song, then you have somebody way back in the back pop up. Give the testimony. Just want to thank the Lord for saving the soul. What's happened? What have we done? And we're going to be held accountable of that too. I mean, I've got more right now to be held account to. It's going to take weeks. It's going to take months for the Lord ever to get through with me. But it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that. We should be the happiest people on earth today. People need to see a smile on our face at all times.
The people need to see us praising God all the time. You say, well, Pastor, you know, you can't go to the mall and you can't go to, you can't walk down the mall and everything and praise the Lord and thank the Lord for this and that and everything. You can't go to the hospital and pray. You can't go to the hospital and leave a tract there because they don't come out and say, you can't do it anymore. Well, I'll tell you what. They ain't stopped me yet. And I go in there, I pray with them. I pray with the nurses up there. I pray with the patients. I pray with the doctors. I pray in the hospital for people. And yes, and I went through the mall with my hands hung high, shouting the victory and praising God. Did they escort me out? Nope. They want us to believe that they're going to do that. But when it really gets down to getting to that point to do it, they're scared of what God would do. See, we took all of that out of. Out of the places of businesses. You go into a place of business now and you'll see somebody over there and they got to be the head bad. And I know they're saying a little prayer, thanking the Lord for the meal that they're about to take. But why don't they just speak it out loud so the people can hear what they're saying? People say, that's wrong, you shouldn't do that. You're pushing that on people. You shouldn't do that. That's not right. It don't look good on your part. You're right, it don't look good on my part. It sure don't. When I'm sitting there and I'm praying over the meal. And the one sitting right beside me can't even hear me. When there's a couple sitting right behind me at another table. They may be hurting, they may be on their last leg. And they don't know what to do. I got a lifeline for them. I have a lifeline for them. I have a lifeline that the Lord has given me. And with this lifeline, it's no end to the rope. It's no end to it. It'll stretch from here across the world and back. Why? Because it's God. Who tonight is really willing to join with me in putting the altar back in church and putting the prayer back in church to where when visitors do happen to come in that they can see us on the altar praying. They can see us weeping. We don't see no carpet that's at the altar anymore, but where the carpet has been stained with the tears of the people. I understood that there have been pew altars where they had the carpet down.
in years past, that where the people come up and they cry and they wept their heart out over the husband, over the wife, over their son, over their daughter. They wept over them. Why? Because they loved them. And they wanted them to have the same joy that they have. We need to get back to old-fashioned ways of doing God's work. We need to get back to the old-fashioned way of letting people know that we care for them. And we just don't care for them just because we are here in church. That we really care for them. That we care for their life. We need to let people know. Hey, don't get me wrong. I'm as guilty as the next one. I'm as guilty as the one that's over there at another church where they done changed the Bible and everything. I'm just as guilty as they are on some things. I need a closer walk with the Lord. I need to be closer to Him. And He needs to be closer to me. I need to just want Him to want to come back to me. He wants them to come back to where He can be that close to me. And that's what I want. That's what I want. Because until this, until that happens, we're not going to see no more people saved.
Preach, do you really believe that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Why? Because there's no prayer. There's no prayer. Where does the joy for me and you come from? It comes from within. Comes from our heart. That where God has placed that love there that we knew nothing about before. Oh yes, we thought we knew what love was about, but we did not know. I did not know what love meant until I met the Lord. And I knew right then when He told me. And when the Holy Spirit told me, said, He died. He gave His life for you. He gave His life for you. That's what you call love. That's what you call being obedient. He was obedient to the Father. And He loved the Father so much that yes, He was willing to die. Because the great I Am had planned that all the way from the beginning of time. It all planned all of that. Now, Father, we want to thank You, Lord Jesus, for tonight. Thank You, Father, for the words, Lord, that You give me. And, Father, we pray, oh God, right now, that You will help us as individuals here at Faith Baptist Church. That, Father, that we will bring the altar back. The Father, that will bring back prayer.
Father, that we'll have a concern upon our heart for the individuals out here that we know, and the individuals that we have really fell in love with them. But they don't love you, Lord. And Father, help us, Lord Jesus, to remember what you went through for us. Just remember. Allow us to remember all the things that you went through for one individual soul. If I was the only one living, if I was the only one who was faced on this earth besides Satan and his enemies, I know that the God in heaven will still say, Son, I need you to go to earth. I need you to go there now. I need you to walk with Donnie. I need you to speak to him. I need you to talk to him. Because, Father, I know he needs to be saved. And the Father says, you're right, son, he does. And son, and I did not create hell for him. I created it for the devil and his angels. So, Father, please allow me and the Holy Spirit to go speak to him. Let him know that we're willing to go all the way to the altar. We're willing to go all the way to the cross. We're willing to go all the way to the grave. We're willing to go all the way for him. And he don't owe us one dime. He don't even owe us a thank you. But we want him to be saved. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for Faith Baptist Church. Lord, I know of no other church, Father, that you would ever want me to be in and to have a fine flock of people as you've given me here. These people love you, Lord, and I love you. Father, for the things that we've been praying for, just seeing someone that we've spoken to that will just come in to church, that the Holy Spirit can take control of the automobile on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night and can lead them here. Yes, Father, I want this church to grow. But Father, I want it to grow the way it needs to grow. With people getting saved. And Father, where we can gather together and we can go out and we can do more than we can with just the little few we got. But Father, I do know this. Like you say in your word and in that song that we sing, little is in it. I mean, much is in it. We know that. We know that we cannot provide nothing.
much
when you are in it. I thank you for that, Father.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, this evening for the service tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
All right. Anybody want to come to the altar? Pray tonight for the church. Pray for families. Pray that God will do something unexpected where we know nothing about.